Shalom, Rabbi Galperin. How are you?
Thank God, Ilan. How are you?
I'm fine. So, Tu Bishvat.
Yeah, well, we just finished celebrating Tu Bishvat, which is the 15th day of Shvat of the Jewish calendar.
Yeah, actually, I'm sorry. Actually, it's my second birthday, because they say it's a birthday to the Ilan.
Oh!
A birthday to the tree.
And your name is Ilan.
And my name is Ilan.
Okay, so there you go.
Yeah.
You get what? You get three birthdays? Your Hebrew, your English, and the Tu Bishvat one.
Three. You're lucky. Three so far.
You're lucky. You get three presents. And not bad.
Yeah, for sure.
So we see that it's obviously the new year for the trees. This is the season in which the earliest blooming trees in the land of Israel emerge from their winter sleep and begin to start bearing fruit. And legally, the new year for trees relates to the various tithes that are separated from produce grown in the Holy Land. And these go, you know, from year to year, they differ from the Shemitah cycle. And we mark the day of Tu Bishvat by eating fruit, particularly from the kinds that are singled out in the Torah, which are, you know, fruit of the Holy Land, grapes, figs, pomegranates, olives, dates. And also we do remember on this day that a man is a tree of the field. And there's a lot of lessons that you can really learn out of that, you know, what is the Torah trying to teach us when it does this? And a tree is planted by first putting a seed in the ground. And afterward, it is necessary to, you know, we constantly got to water it and move the ground to remove the weeds. And in each and every Jew, God planted a divine seed. In other words, his soul, his neshama.
Yeah.
And it's our obligation to water it with Torah study and protect it by weeding out all the bad influences and the bad surroundings around us. And a healthy tree continues to grow, obviously. And a healthy Jew must continuously grow spiritually. And how do you do that? Through watering ourselves. Through watering, through Torah. So that's why the man is considered like a tree, generally that's talked about in the Torah, and specifically on Tu Bishvat, we could take that small important lesson. Now, we see in this week's Torah portion, which is Parashat Yitro, we see that the children of Israel camp opposite Mount Sinai, where they are told that God has chosen them to his kingdom of priests, and obviously Am Kadosh, a holy nation. And the people respond by proclaiming to God that all that God has spoken, we shall do. Correct. And obviously, we get the Ten Commandments of commanding people that Israel to believe in God, not to worship idols, not to say God's name in vain, that you shouldn't bear false witness or covet another's property. And those are the commandments, obviously, that we're given to when the time when we receive the Torah, that day of time, the Torah portion. Now, if we look at the commandments of the Torah portion, you know, we have 10 commandments. So we try and look and we say, which one would be the easiest one to fulfill? Which one would be the hardest one to fulfill? Which one is something more connected to me as a human being? Which one is not so connected? And everyone can look at each one of the 10 commandments and see that, this one's easier for me, this one's not too hard for me, this one I can't stand, this one I'll never do, and so on and so forth. And each one of them you can actually take a lesson how to run your life by.
Yeah.
And I think one of the hard mitzvahs, one of the heart of the Ten Commandments is the concept of, you know, because look, you know, the first is to believe in God. Faith doesn't come easy to our generation as it did in the other days. In the olden days, you know, people had a little more faith. Children with aged parents that are suffering, they require, you know, even a harder aspect to be able to fulfill the fifth commandment of honor your father and mother. So, each one has a individual thing, why it could be hard, why it could not be hard. But I think one that's an important lesson we can learn out of it, and I think is hard as well, is the commandment number 10 of thou shalt not covet your friend's house, his wife, servant, ox, donkey. And then the Torah goes on to explain, or anything that belongs to your friend. So, if you think about it in simple English, that what the Torah is telling us is that we shouldn't desire someone has a beautiful home, don't desire his home. Don't desire his beautiful wife.
Yeah.
Don't desire his dream job. Don't desire his, you know, fancy Maserati car.
Yeah.
Or anything else that is his. So, it's one thing not to steal something from someone. But you're going to tell me that I can't even desire it? What's the problem with me having, I wish I had this. What's the big deal? And I think that's got to be, for everyone, it's got to be a very, very hard, maybe the hardest one of all. Now, really, if you think about it, you can ask a simple question. Who does God think we are? Is God very unreasonable? Does he think that we are, is he being realistic? I don't think he thinks that we are angels. He created us. So why is it that he's giving us such a hard commandment of don't covet your neighbor's thing, your neighbor's item? That's such a natural thing for me to do. Not to kill someone, I understand. To honor God, I understand. To keep Shabbat, I understand. It's a little harder, I can understand. Honor your father and mother, I understand. But you make me as a normal human being. I shouldn't be jealous of someone else. So there are a lot of explanations and answers in one of them. And one of them that I find interesting, which I think is an important lesson, is that sometimes, you know, when you try answer a question, you ask a question to be able to answer it. And if you look in the verse of what it says, it says you should not covet your friend's house or his wife, his servant, his ox, donkey, and then or anything that belongs to your friend. So why does the text of this commandment first list a variety of specific things, a house, a wife, a servant, and then it still finds it very necessary to add, you know, more on a generalized, a generalization part, and all that belongs to your friend. That's extra. Obviously, if you're not supposed to be jealous of his house, his wife, and his servants, very good. What does it mean, and all that belongs to your friend? And one of the beautiful explanations offered by a lot of Mefarshim, a lot of rabbis and sages, is that this comes to teach us a very, very important lesson. That a lesson which actually makes this difficult commandment a lot easier for us to really do. Because what the Torah is saying is that if by chance you should cast your eye over your neighbor's fence, don't look at the specifics. Remember also to look at the overall picture. Because most of us tend to say, you know what, the grass is always greener on the other side. But at the end of the day, is we really don't know, and we don't always consider the full picture. As they say, the whole package.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, okay, he's got a great business. He's a very, very, he has a very, very healthy balance sheet. But is he healthy? Is his family healthy? His wife looks great. You know, when they're outside and when they're together.
Yeah.
Is she like a real pleasure to live with at home? And if he should have health and wealth, does he have nachas from his children? So, we really got to think and say, is there anybody who has it all? And every now and then, you know, you find out new things about a person that you never ever learned before, or you never knew before. Because sometimes you see a person who seems to be on the top of the world, and suddenly the carpet is pulled out from under his feet, and in an instant, he finds himself in need.
Yeah.
You know, another guy who really thought that, you know, he might be an amazing father. He comes out at the end of the day, he's raising the most, he's raising the wild animals, you know, his wild kids. So, every person, as they say in Yiddish, has its own tekel. You have your own parcel. We each carry a backpack through life. We have our own problems, our little bundle, you know, of tourists, of issues. And when we're young, we always think of the difficulties, the other people get it. Me, I don't get anything. So, what the Torah is telling us, that if we find ourselves coveting your fellows, whatever it is, we've got to stop for a minute to consider whether we really want all that your friend has. When we actually see with our own eyes what the other fellow's life is all about, you know, behind the closed doors, not in public, what really is inside that person's backpack, we really feel grateful for everything that's been put in our lives. That we would be happy to choose our own tackle. You know, everything that we had, we would be very happy. You know, there's a famous folk story about a group of villagers who formed a circle, and each individual opened his sack, revealing obviously his most precious possessions, that everyone that's around that circle should be able to see it. And the objective was that everyone should be able to walk around the circle, go to all the open sacks, and everyone can take whatever they want from any of those sacks. Whatever they want is theirs, they can choose, they can take it. And guess what? In the end, each one of them chose their own one. Because you see, okay, the other guy has an amazing house. But what goes on in the house? The other guy has an amazing car. But what went into getting my car? What's he riding off now? How much debt does he have? So, looking at just the general picture of you shouldn't covet the wife, the ox, the car, we've got to look at the general picture. What's inside it?
The global.
Exactly. And God is giving us good advice. God is not just saying, don't covet this and that. God is trying to tell us something. That we have to be wise enough to realize that we've got not only to look at the individual thing that we want, we've got to look at the whole picture. And when we do it, this difficult commandment becomes very easy. Because not only is it sinful to envy what other people have, even if you put aside the aspect of sin, it's just foolish. Because life, if you think about it, is not just, I have this, I have this, I don't have this, the other person has this, I want this. Life is a package deal. It's all around. And so for me to think that the other person has something, but why does that other person have it? How did he get to that? How much aggravation? Is he happy? Is he not happy? So we have to remember that God gives each person. God doesn't give me anything that I'm not able to handle. He gives me my own tackle, my own issues. He won't give it to Ilan Amy. And Ilan Amy, he won't give it to me. Why? Because each one of us is an individual. And I'm not jealous that the other person has something. Because I look at the general picture, not only at the individual item of what the person has. And that's something so important, something that we can learn on a day-to-day life and how we act with others and how we look at others. I think it's so important in creating an atmosphere of being happy.
Yeah. That's a nice parasha.
Beautiful parasha. Absolutely beautiful.
So, services at Shaarei Tzedek.
Services at Shaarei Tzedek is Friday evening at 6 p.m. and Shabbat morning, Saturday morning at 9 a.m. And just as you probably know, Ilan, that in a month is going to be Purim. And we already started working on the annual Purim party, which this year's theme is going to be Purim in the Wild West.
In the Wild West? Oh,
in the Wild
cool.
West.
Good.
So, you know, obviously the decor and everyone's in cars. So, but the flyers are going to be going out. And so it's March 8th at the Jewish Community Center at the JCC.
That's great.
And it's open to the entire community, and it starts at 5 o'clock with the Megillah reading.
Good.
So that's fun. But as time goes on, we will talk about it further. I just thought
we will
about getting
sure.
people aware
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, we will mention it and we will remind people.
Definitely.
And if people come with horses, because it's quite wet, don't look at their horses.
No, we won't.
Good.
You can park them in there. We'll have some stables outside the JCC. You can park them.
That's it. So, Rabbi, thank you.
No problem, and we'll talk, God willing, next week.
Thank you. Shabbat Shalom.
Be well. Shabbat Shalom.